There is a common debate that happens around Christmas each year. Is the movie Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? It's a heated debate that happens among some people. For those who don't know, Die Hard is a 1988 action thriller starring Bruce Willis, and it takes place on Christmas Eve. But it's not exactly what most people associate with a Christmas movie. It's not very warm and cozy. It's very far from the Hallmark Christmas movies, for those of you who like those. And it doesn't have snow. It doesn't have Santa or elves. Instead, it involves a New York City policeman trying to save hostages from a group of terrorists. And yet, there are some people who vigorously argue that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and they will stake everything on it. I am not going to dive into that heated debate this morning. I'll leave that to whatever you guys think about that. But I think it's interesting that for some people, the fact that Die Hard has danger and action and even violence disqualifies it from being associated with Christmas. Again, it's not normally what we think about when we think about Christmas. But what we're going to see from today's text is that the first Christmas was actually surrounded by the very things that are in Die Hard: danger and action and even violence. So today my sermon title is Dangerous Christmas. We're going to see how Jesus' birth was surrounded by danger, by some very dangerous elements, and also how the Christmas message itself is actually a dangerous one to some people, especially those in power, as we'll see in our text. So our text today is from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 13 through 23. And the lead up to this passage is something that's very familiar around Christmas time. It's the story of the Magi, or the wise men, who came to visit Jesus and who brought the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And after they had visited Jesus, they were warned by an angel not to return to King Herod, who they had seen earlier in finding out where this baby was to be born, although Herod had asked them to do this. And that's sort of the context for what we'll see in the beginning of this passage. So Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, we'll have the verses on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bibles. When they had gone, speaking of the Magi, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled what was said through the prophets: "He will be called a Nazarene." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you would speak to us now. Give us ears to hear your word to us, Lord. That you would open up and even deeper and new understandings of Christmas and of Jesus' birth and his coming, even in the light of the danger that we see in the midst of this passage, God. So speak to us now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning, as we think about this idea of dangerous Christmas, by looking at danger in our world. Danger in the world at the time that Jesus was born, danger in our world today. And in our text, you probably heard this again as I was reading it, our text today is filled with dangerous elements. Joseph is warned by an angel in a dream that King Herod is going to search for Jesus to kill him, that their newborn baby, their little Jesus, is in danger of his life. Earlier in the chapter, the Magi had come to Jerusalem looking for one who had been born king of the Jews. But that message, when they said that, we're looking for one who has been born king of the Jews, that was threatening to King Herod. He was the king. He saw himself as the king. And so this new baby he saw as a threat to his power. So he asked the Magi, you know, go and find the child and then come back and report to me so that I can go and worship the child as well. But of course, Herod had no intention of worshiping this newborn king. He wanted to eliminate this potential rival. And so he was hoping the Magi would come and return so he could go and wipe out this possible threat. There's danger here in the midst of Jesus' birth. And so when Joseph receives this message from the angel, he warning him about this, he gets up in the middle of the night and he flees to Egypt with Mary and with baby Jesus in order to escape Herod's murderous plan. But even this act, this escape of Mary and Joseph, had some danger in it. This young family had a 75-mile journey ahead of them to the border of Egypt. They had to leave their families. They had to leave all that they had known. And this was not a planned journey. It wasn't like they'd been preparing for this journey. They get this, Joseph gets this dream, and it says in the middle of the night, they get up and they leave. And so they took what they had with them, and they had to hope that was going to be enough for them. And they go to this foreign country that's unfamiliar to them, with an unfamiliar language and unfamiliar customs. And they go there not knowing how long they're going to have to stay there. God just tells them, go until I tell you it's time to return. You know, there are countless families and individuals who have experienced similar danger to what Mary, Joseph, and Jesus did. All around our world, there are families, individuals, who have had to flee their homes, their home countries, because of fear for their lives. Over the summer, Christianity Today interviewed a man named Dermomo Gary. There's a picture of Dermomo, who left the country of Sudan in the early 2000s after an attempt on his life because of his Christian faith. Because he was Christian in this predominantly Muslim community, he feared for his life. And so one of Dermomo's college professors actually hid him in his home for 3 months until he could find some way to escape the country. And then another friend from Dermomo's church worked at a travel agency and was able to get him a flight out of the country that was not supposed to have any passengers on it. So it's sort of a covert operation to get him out of the country. And so Dermomo left Sudan without being able to say goodbye to any of his family or his friends. Many of them didn't even know what had happened to him. And he left without knowing when he would or if he would even be able to see them ever again. You know, I know it's difficult for some of us to relate to a story like Dermomo's or to the experience of having to flee your homeland for fear of your life. But this is the experience of many people around our world. You know, refugees, asylum seekers around the world, here in the U.S., that for many people, they have experienced danger in the world in a real and palpable way, fleeing for their lives. And the sad reality is that for many people, they aren't able to escape this danger. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, they escaped to Egypt. But for the other boys in Bethlehem, who were 2 years old and under, there was no escape. Herod was so furious that the Magi didn't return to him that he gave orders to kill all boys who were two and under in the vicinity of Bethlehem. And this painting on the next slide here shows one artist's rendering of the terror that the mothers in Bethlehem must have faced from Herod, sheltering their child, trying to hide from Herod's soldiers coming and trying to wipe out all boys 2 years and under. You know, this is a part of the Christmas story that we don't usually highlight, right? I mean, we sing about shepherds and angels and the wise men and the manger, but we don't sing Christmas carols about the slaughter of these little boys. And yet this event is deeply connected to the event of Jesus' birth. The truth is that I think for a lot of us, we don't want to think about tragedies or evil or murder at Christmas time. And yet we live in a world where these realities constantly interrupt our attempts to keep a nice, safe, comfortable Christmas that we sometimes maybe try to hide behind. This past Thursday, the day after Christmas, a video was released showing the massacre of 11 Nigerian Christians by a Boko Haram splinter group. And they did it specifically at Christmas, wanting to kill Christians. Then yesterday morning, a car bomb explosion killed at least 79 people in Somalia. And this morning, as I woke up and looked on my phone, I saw the news of five Jewish people who had been stabbed at a Hanukkah celebration right here in a New York suburb. We live in a world where we're used to hearing about mass shootings in schools and children being separated from their parents at the border and suicide bombings and terrorist attacks. We live in a world that's full of danger. But there are other examples of danger that might hit a little closer to home for some of us. There's the danger of being diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, or the danger of losing your job or getting injured in an accident, or the danger of losing a loved one suddenly. You know, any of these things can intrude upon our Christmas celebrations too, that we live in a world full of danger. But here's the thing. Jesus came into the world at Christmas because of these very things. That's why he came. He came to face the danger of this world, to enter into a world full of danger, violence, and tragedy, to bring hope and healing and salvation. As the Christmas carol, O Holy Night, says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. We live in a weary world, full of danger and sadness, and yet Jesus came into the world to bring hope and light. So how does Jesus' coming address the danger in our world? I want to look next at God's response to danger in the world. And that his first response to this reality of the danger in our world is that God experiences it himself. God actually enters in and encounters and experiences this dangerous world himself. One of the key things we celebrate at Christmas is the incarnation, the truth that the God of the universe took on flesh and became a human being in Jesus. So when Jesus faced the danger of being killed by Herod, guess what? God himself faced that danger. God became vulnerable in Jesus. So God knows what it's like to flee from your homeland because your life is threatened. He can identify with the refugees and asylum seekers in our world. He experienced it himself. And not only that, he can also identify with the weeping mothers of Bethlehem. When Jesus grew up, he not only experienced the danger of being killed, he actually was killed. Herod didn't kill him, but the Roman governor Pontius Pilate gave the order for Jesus to be crucified at the request of the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And so when Jesus, the ultimate innocent son, was killed, God, the Father, experienced what it's like to lose your child, to lose your son, just like those weeping mothers in Bethlehem. So if you're facing danger in your life right now, whether from a medical problem or a relational problem or a financial problem or whatever it may be, know that God has experienced that same danger too. And if you've experienced a loss or even a tragedy, know that God has too. You're not alone. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And so God, the first part of God's response to the danger in the world is that God, he comes into it and identifies with it, with us, in the midst of our danger. But God's response to danger is not only to just experience it, to be able to identify with us. The next part of his response is that God also came to rescue us from it. That he came into the world to rescue us from the danger. The reason that Jesus came into the world was to save us from the brokenness of this world, to save us from this world filled with danger and tragedy. In this passage, Matthew quotes from two Old Testament prophets that kind of illuminates this, shows this to us. So in verse 15, Matthew quotes from the prophet Hosea, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. And there he quotes this thing where he says, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, on the surface, you know, Matthew's saying, well, you know, just like Israel came out of Egypt, so Jesus went into Egypt and he came out of it. But he quotes this also for a deeper reason here. Because in Hosea, God is speaking about Israel, his son, who he called out of Egypt, meaning that he called them out of slavery through the Exodus. And so when God sent Jesus into the world, sent his son, he sent him to accomplish an even greater Exodus, leading humanity out of slavery, out of our slavery to sin and death. And Jesus, he came to walk the same path that Israel walked, coming out of Egypt, but he did it perfectly. And he did it so that he could bring all of us with him out of our danger, out of our slavery, out of our darkness, to bring salvation to the whole world. In verse 18 of our text, Matthew quotes from the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31:15, which says, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping." And the weeping that Jeremiah was talking about in his day was the weeping of those who were seeing their people being led into exile. Ramah was the area that the exiles would travel through on their way to Assyria and to Babylon. And there was this weeping as their sons were being sent away, never to be seen again, those who were left in Israel. But here, Matthew quotes from this moment of Israel being exiled, being sent away, to remind us that God sent Jesus to rescue those who are in exile. That the exile wasn't the final destination of his people, but that God saved the people from exile just as he saved them from Egypt. And that Jesus came to bring comfort to those who weep and to open the door for a heavenly home where there are no more tears, where there's no more need to mourn like Rachel and those missing, those left into exile. In fact, that Jesus had come to even give life to those who have died, to those dead little boys in Bethlehem, to those who died in Egypt and died in exile, that Jesus had come to open up a new heavenly home so that those could be raised to new life. And so Jesus, when he came, he didn't come to rescue us from every possible experience of danger in our day-to-day lives. We still are going to experience danger in our lives and moments of sadness and tragedy even. But what he came to do is to rescue us from danger and tragedy having the last word. That because Jesus faced the danger of the cross for us, we don't have to fear the danger of death anymore. And because Jesus experienced the tragedy of the cross for us and then rose to new life, we can know that tragedy doesn't have the last word in our world. And this leads to the final thing I want to look at this morning, which is our response to danger in the world. How do we respond to danger in our world, given what we've just talked about in terms of how God has responded? Well, the first part of our response, in light of how God has responded to danger in the world, is that we don't have to fear it. That because God himself experienced danger, we don't have to be alone when we experience danger in our lives, because we know that God's been there too, and we can look to him to be with us. And because God came to rescue us from ultimate danger, we don't have to fear the temporary experiences of danger when they come. And so that then leads to this other aspect of our response, is that not only don't we have to fear it, but that actually we can enter into danger in order to help rescue others from it. Because we don't need to fear danger, we can enter into situations that might seem scary or dangerous, not to just put ourselves in harm's way, but in order to help rescue others. That man that I mentioned earlier, Dermomo Gary, who fled for his life from Sudan as a refugee, he eventually ended up settling here in the United States. But when he got here, he didn't choose to isolate himself to try to protect himself from ever experiencing danger ever again. No, he actually took a job with an organization called World Relief, where he works to help other refugees escape danger and works to help settle refugees that have escaped danger into places where they can have a safe place to live. See, Dermomo was willing to enter into danger again to help rescue others. But when we do this, we also have to recognize that we may face opposition. You see, when the reason that Herod tried to kill Jesus was because he was threatened by him. Jesus was actually dangerous to Herod. Think about that, right? Herod was a danger to Jesus, but actually the reason that Herod went after Jesus is because he felt that Jesus was dangerous to him. Jesus is this king who's come to do something different. And when we enter into situations of danger, especially to come alongside those who are vulnerable, those in power may see us as dangerous too. I mean, when we stand up to welcome refugees who have fled danger, some people in power will oppose us and see us as dangerous for doing that. Or when we stand up to speak on behalf of unborn children, others in power will oppose us and see us as dangerous. Or when we stand with those who have been targeted because of their race or their nationality or their religion, like the Jewish people who were killed earlier this morning, or Muslims that are attacked for their religion, or whoever it may be. But when we stand up to say, no, we're standing in solidarity to care for those around us who are experiencing that, some people in power will see that as a threat. In Mark 8:35, Jesus says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for this and for the gospel will save it." Jesus calls us, his followers, not to run away from danger, trying to protect and save our lives, but to actually run into situations where people need rescuing even if that means danger to us, or even if it means losing our lives for the sake of the gospel. So as we enter a new year later this week, I want to just close by asking you to ponder a question. How might God be calling you to face danger in order to help rescue someone this next year? How could the year 2020 be less about protecting your own safety and comfort and more about giving up your safety and comfort for the sake of others? Is there a situation that God maybe has placed on your heart that might involve risking some comfort? Maybe experiencing some opposition or even some danger in order to help rescue someone else who's in danger? You know, maybe that starts with getting to know the stories of refugees in our community. Actually hearing stories. Hearing people's experiences. Maybe it means getting to know the many homeless people living on our streets or in shelters in our city and coming alongside of them in the midst of their vulnerability and danger. Or maybe hearing the stories of women who are facing an unplanned pregnancy, going to one of the pregnancy crisis center in Staten Island and coming alongside of them to help them see a way forward for that baby that they're carrying. Maybe it involves coming alongside someone who's facing cancer or who's dealing with the death of a loved one or who's wrapped up in an addiction and entering into their struggle with them and loving them and pointing them to Jesus. Maybe it's getting to know someone who's spiritually lost, even if their life is kind of messy or even if they're antagonistic toward you, but loving them and praying that God would rescue them from their sin and from eternal danger. I don't know what that is for you, but I want to encourage you to think about that as we enter this new year. Pray about that. God, how are you calling me to not just be about protecting my safety this next year, but actually being willing to let go of some of that for the sake of someone else who really needs to know you, who really needs to know that you're a God who rescues, or a God who cares about those who are vulnerable. God was willing to come down from the comfort and safety of heaven and enter into the danger and vulnerability in our world. He was willing to face the danger of Herod's murderous plans and eventually to give his own life for us on the cross. Why? To rescue you and me. And so as we rejoice in that rescue, as we rest in the ultimate security that we have because of what Jesus has done for us, let us follow our Lord as he leads us to be a part of his rescue plan for others, even if it means facing danger. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you were not afraid to come into our dangerous world, into a world filled with violence, and you were willing to actually become vulnerable to that yourself. As you became a baby, as your life was in danger and you had to flee as a refugee to Egypt, hoping for someone to welcome you and to welcome Mary and Joseph. Lord, you know what that's like. Lord, you experienced violence, death on the cross. God, help us to see that and to be changed by it, and to not look at those around us who are facing danger and facing violence and try to stay away from it, God, but to come near just as you came near to us, and to be willing to even give some of our own safety and comfort away so that we might be your agents of bringing hope and rescue and love in the midst of this dangerous world. God, change our hearts. Forgive us for moments where we hold more tightly to our own safety and we miss out on actually being a part of something much greater that you want to do in and through us, Lord. Challenge us, God. Lead us as we head into this new year. Thank you for being the one who has come to us to rescue us, to save us. Use us to proclaim this news to others who desperately need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.